This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast.
We are here to hang out with Tammy Woodard for a little while. She is one of Devin and I's volunteers.
Volunteers, yes.
Who joined us with Forum. But as we get started here, Tammy, tell us a little bit about you. Who is Tammy? What makes up Tammy?
Well, I was going to say that in our family, we call it voluntold. So yeah. You might want to adopt that phrase, voluntold.
I could take that motto. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, voluntold. It's a thing. So I guess what makes me up at the moment is I'm an empty nester. So it's just me and the dog, you know, the chihuahua that hang out. And but I have found my work niche and my ministry niche are colliding into each other, which has been really kind of a cool thing of late. And so I'm really just enjoying this phase of life. I mean, my kids are fabulous, but they're grown up adult kids, and that's a fun age, and I have a fun relationship with them, but I'm not sad about the empty nest thing. It's been kind of cool. And
it has advantages.
It does.
That Devin doesn't know about.
I don't know about this. So you know who I'm coming to you, Tammy. When this happens, yeah. I'm coming to you. I'm like,
yeah. And hey, I will say this in all honesty, one phase isn't better than another. There, you know, you got to live in the moments of all of them. They all got their good parts.
Yeah, but I'm coming to you to find out how to live my best life when I'm an empty nester. I'm not coming to Elmer.
Don't go to Elmer.
Yeah. Wait a second. I actually, Tammy, I like having adult kids. I do. I love having adult kids over little ones that you're having to raise. I mean, I love grandkids. They're fun, but you get to take them back and let them have them.
And I'm not putting any pressure on them to give me any of those yet. There's no pressure. They know that. Listen to this. There's no pressure.
There
could be some maturity issues there that maybe they're still navigating. And I get it.
But yes, having a relationship with adult kids is pretty cool, I have to say. And it's been pretty awesome. So, you know, did the single parent thing. I guess I'm still a single parent, kind of. I don't know what you call yourself when you're a parent of adult kids, but so yeah, mostly my life is just hanging with my immediate family because I'm the oldest. So I kind of caretake my parents. They're not quite at that age yet, but you know, I am the IT support. Let's put it that way. I'm the IT support for them. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, and then just working and doing my church stuff, my community stuff.
So, the any other interests, because I know you do have a couple interests. I want to just share those real quick before we dive into some serious stuff, because again, this might help us get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I am a reader, and then I am also a writer. And the writing piece is something that I did when I was a kid. I did in middle school and high school. Then, you know, life took off. I decided that writing was not going to be a lucrative income for me, although then I ended up in public education. So clearly I was just not in a good path all the way around. But yeah, I kind of let the writing go and just figured that wasn't going to be a thing. And I really just was to the point that I didn't really even think about it anymore. I just thought that was a thing for that season and that time, and it's gone and it's done, and that's great. And God had other plans. And so about 4 years ago, he resurrected that. So that's been really cool to just navigate through that. So yeah, I love writing. And if you follow me on social media at all, I'm way more obsessed with my dog right now than I am my kids. So that's the other.
So they know their place.
Disturbing. That's disturbing. But that's,
I know.
Okay. That's fine.
And he's a 7-pound chihuahua, so he probably doesn't love me nearly as much as I love him, but it's okay. We're working out our issues.
Well, and the good thing is he doesn't talk to you, right?
Yes, true.
Because I would be concerned about that. But hey, I do. I get it. Life. So how did the Forum journey begin for you, and how was it?
Elmer, tricked me and lied to me. That's how the farm journey began.
Can you say that again? What did you just say?
Elmer tricked me and lied to me. That's how farm began for me.
Okay, you're going to need to elaborate on that because Devin is going to stop the editing on that and he's just going to replay that over and over again.
Over and over.
And that's not going to go well for me.
I'm going to put it on with a compilation where you said I was right.
I only speak truth. I had moved into Centralia, and this is going to sound really weird, but I understand it better now. I moved into Centralia and I really felt strongly like the Lord said to me, I want you to move your entire life into this community. And I was like, what? And I felt like he was saying my church, and this is the part that's going to sound crazy, even down to your hairdresser, your dog groomer, your, you know, all of that, and no joke. And I know that makes me sound like a crazy person, but I really felt strongly like the Lord was like, nope, I want every facet of your life to be in this community. And I get it now, because now 4 or 5 years later, I can tell you I absolutely love this community. I just love this Centralia community. So as part of trying to walk that out and be obedient to that, I was like, well, I got to find a church. I'm not a morning person. So the fact that the church is 32 seconds from my driveway fares well for me.
And nothing is, you could have went either way, right?
Yes. Yeah, because there is one, like,
you had some choices. You had some choices.
And I'm not going to say I didn't visit, but Pastor Mark actually said, you just come here because we're the closest. And I'm like, is that a problem? I don't see where the Bible says anything where that's a problem. But so I visited a few places, and in all honesty, I just felt, it was one of those moments where when I walked into CCCOG, I just felt like the Lord said, this is the place where I'm going to plant you. And so I filled out the card and did all the things. And because one of the things that I will say that I've learned, because I grew up in church, my dad was a pastor. I was a pastor's wife. I was a pastor's kid, which tells you a lot about me. And
that's where the extra counseling will come in later.
Yes, absolutely. So I knew enough to know, at least this is my personal feeling, anytime I've gone to a new church or changed churches or changed communities, I knew enough to know that I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit on a pew or a bench and wait for them to come to me. Like, I knew that I was going to get out of it what I put into it, and that if I wanted to make connection, I needed to reach out and make connection. And that's just the way that I feel about it. So I did that, filled out the cards, checked the boxes, did the things, put it in. I won't ever forget it. I was running an errand at lunchtime. I was sitting in front of the post office when Elmer called me, and my lunch hour turned into 2. I made up some excuse as to why I was late.
Hey, let's stop talking like that.
This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
Just say it. It could have been long because I was like sharing my story. We can blame it on me. I'm big enough to take that.
All right. I appreciate that. Anyway, need all the help I can get.
I was telling Elmer that I wanted to like get involved in a small group, make a connection, because I was new to the community and I'd shared the story about God telling me to move my life into this community and I didn't know this community. And so I wanted to make some of those connections. And if you know me longer than 5 minutes, you will hear me say, it's hard to make friends as an adult because we don't have recess. And so that's my little phrase that I use that's all good. The time. And
Devin, so write that down.
We got to play together.
There. Yeah. I think that could be a recess. T-shirt. That's a T-shirt.
So this is the part where Elmer tricked me, because he started telling me about form, but he made it sound like it was this, come, you know, he have some dinner, some Fritos, you know, play a board game, breeze. He might not have said anything about a board game, but insinuated that it was kind of this lighthearted, you know,
adult recess.
So I was like, sign me up. I'm all about adult recess. I can do that. The very first form class, I cried. So let's just put that out there right now. I cried.
Okay, that was the first one. I thought it was looking back to
Well, when, what, okay, I won't say it's the first one. Which one did we do the timeline?
That's third the timeline. One. Yeah. Timeline's number is week three.
Week three.
Okay. Close enough to the first one.
Yeah, I cried. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
First one is more of a fire hose.
No, no, no. I like that. That's the story you should tell forever, though. The very first one, Elmer made you cry.
I cried. So, yeah.
Okay, but I did make her cry on the phone. So that's a win, right?
Yeah, I didn't cry on the phone. Of course, I thought I was coming to eat Fritos and play Monopoly. But, yeah, so I came and, you know, I will say after the first one, I was like, I don't think this is adult recess. I think Elmer sold me a bill of goods. But it was good. And by the third one, I cried. But I cried because God was digging down deep into some stuff. And and before coming to CCCOG, I had just come off of a class that was really about healing for some things, for some past traumas in my life. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard the phrase, I have, but when God sort of removes something out of your life, he's got to fill it with something. And form was really the filling of that. The healing had taken place as far as the removal of the angst and the issue and the trauma and all of those things. And form was really the infilling of that whole, to finish that restorative healing and everything. It was not easy. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It was a tough road, but it was hands down. I kind of want to whisper this so that Elmer can't hear it because I don't want him to get a big head. But hands down, it was it was one of the most impactful things that I have ever experienced in my life. And definitely probably something I think about or refer back to almost on a daily basis in talking with people. And so it made a huge difference for me. It was definitely a God setup, even if it was Elmer's fault.
Right. Yeah. Nothing we could do on our own, but something that God orchestrated in the timing of it. Right. I mean, all that timing.
Well, yeah, even I think back to you being, well, first of all, listening to God is pretty big thing in form that we talk about, but for you to have been listening prior to get yourself immersed in this community and do it, you know, hairdresser, doggy, groomer, everything. And then, I mean, obviously he was working ahead of time. I just was kind of like, I was just like a little, I think of me more like some hot sauce, right, Devin? I mean, maybe some ghost pepper. Maybe
I was like thinking that nasty stuff in the packets from Taco Bell, but.
Gross. That's the only way I can get Taco Bell down.
Oh, stop it. All right. Okay. So obviously we're going to take that little clip about telling you this most impactful thing where, we're definitely going to take that out and be able to put that somewhere else. But what's it been like to imitate Devin and Elmer as they follow Christ? How have you navigated that? What does that look like? Because, you know, we're in this Discipleship for Mission, kind of doing a little series here of a couple interviews. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, you've heard that before. And is that just give us a couple thoughts.
Well, one of the things that I've come to appreciate about it is that rarely from either one of you, really, am I ever told what to do or given an answer. If I'm coming to you with a question, it's usually met with another question. That usually
I've never noticed that, Devin. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, it's usually met with a "What's God saying to you?"
Yeah, I was going
to. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Even if there's other questions in between, the end of the conversation is always with "What's God saying?" And I actually appreciate that. I really do. I mean, there were moments in the beginning where that felt a little more frustrating than at other times when I'm going, "I don't know what he's saying," but I appreciate that. It has caused me to lean into going, okay, he's talking. Clearly, I need to do a better job at listening. And so that part of it has been great. And I really have appreciated, too, this, I don't know if you call it philosophy of Elmer about I do for one as I do for many, because this, when you're working with people and in community, and there's just no way to gauge if you're going to have one or if you're going to have many. And when you feel like you've put a lot of time and effort into something, but then you're sitting just in front of one, it can feel discouraging and frustrating. Sure. And sure. And that statement really has shifted my perspective, that one is just as worthy as many. And so this one is just as worthy of all my time, all my effort, everything that I do, even if I thought there was going to be 15.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did that quote to the redhead, not you, Tammy, but my Tammy. And she just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? It's kind of funny. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I probably should give you context. But that actually comes from Andy Stanley. So let's give Andy Stanley a shout out there. Do for one as you would love to be able to do for all. And again, I think sometimes we don't recognize, I think sometimes we want to be, you know, talking to the masses, and we don't realize what it means to talk to one person for them to feel either love. I mean, most of the times they're going to feel loved if you're spending any time with them. But that is something that Devin and I have talked about a lot in our philosophy of ministry. Cause I know of people who, like, hey, if there's not, 5 or 10, 20 people here, why am I even here? And I don't see that. I don't feel that way at all. My favorite story with that is Margaret Burke. You guys know Margaret. She's a saint, and she was teaching Sunday school for me one time. And she only had like one or two people there. And she said, you know, Pastor, you've told me that you've taught class with one person. So if you can do it, I'm sure I can do it. And I'm like, well, Margaret, you're a saint and you are incredible. You have this gorgeous crown that you've already got in heaven waiting for you. So I think whatever you do is going to be fine. You're not going to diminish that.
It's quite the testimony, though, Tammy, of just a perspective shift for you, right? That when you do put in a lot of planning, say even in discipleship, and you're leading people, and one shows up when you were, you know, expecting 5 or 10, and you got one sitting there with you, like recognizing that time is still valuable. It's not wasted. And in some ways, God ordained like that. What is it that God is going to do in that moment? What is he going to say? And how are we going to listen? And how are we going to respond to him? It's such a perspective shift. And for many, one that I think we could even take into all areas of life, right? Whether I picked this up when I was down in Southern California listening to Rick Warren, but he goes, I will do for one what I will do for 100. And of course, he's a guy, you know, with the thousands of people at his sanctuary. I'm like, really? Would you do for one what you do for 100? But it's when we live it out, right? Because it can be, we could say that all day long. Elmer can say, we'll do for one what we'll do for many, or we wish we could do for many. But it's when we have to live it out. We have to walk this out. I got one sitting in front of me, and this is valuable. God's going to use this moment.
Well, and the part that he spoke to me was through that statement, isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, how many times did I hear or say growing up, he would have gone to the cross if you were the only one. So if that's what he did, then isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Wow. Pulling out the Jesus juke.
Good word there, right?
Totally. Totally. Jesus juke. If Jesus is doing it. And for those of you guys listening to the podcast, just go ahead and Google Jesus juke and you'll understand what that means. Hey, what are you excited about right now, Tammy? What is going on in Tammy's life right now? Just like, this is why I'm here.
Honestly, and I spoke to a little bit at the beginning, I'm starting to see this crossover happening between my, you can't see me do air quotes, quote unquote, my real job and this ministry and community and outreach work, which is really cool for me. Mm-hmm. Because I've always, of course, in my workplace, I've lived as a Christian and whatever, but in terms of actual ministry, I've kind of always had these separate boxes and these separate categories, and he's starting to merge those things together in different areas. And so that has been really cool and awesome and interesting to navigate when your work is public education and you're talking ministry.
Nice call.
But I'm just like, you know, just doing what I'm told. And so, but it's been pretty cool to watch and to see God just orchestrate it and do it and open the doors. And it's like, okay, I think we're going here. All right then. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's new. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I'm just walking through the doors as they're open.
And talk about position of influence as well. I mean, it's fantastic to hear and to know that, yeah, you are being welcomed into some relationships and conversations to have a positive influence in people's lives.
Yeah. And I will say with that comes that, you really have to lean into that. What is God saying? Because what's interesting is some of that has stirred up some old tapes of inadequacy, unworthy, insecurity, unqualified that I've had to really wrestle down and been like, okay, God has brought me to this spot. He's the one doing it. And so that's been an interesting little challenge to deal with. But that's just part of that, you know, really leaning in, going, okay, God, what are you saying and where are you working? Because it's not about me.
Well, I'm sure you've never heard that before from Elmer.
Never.
No, at least not in the first couple of weeks. She wouldn't have heard that. And she hasn't been on a mission trip with me, so she would really hear it there. Hey, Tammy, could you just talk a little bit about Club Beyond just before we just let people know what you do with that, because I think it's an awesome and you even maybe tell, I mean, within time restraints, just kind of the backstory, how you got there.
Yeah. So I felt like when I came out of Forum, because of my past history and some trauma things and whatnot, I felt like the Lord was leading me to really work with young moms and young women who are just sort of navigating life, and especially not solely single moms, but kind of a focus on single moms that are really having to navigate a lot of that sort of stuff, because that's my background. And so through a series of events, I landed with Young Lives, which is kind of a branch of Young Life that really focuses on young moms. And I started doing some work with that group. And then through these gals getting older, and Young Lives has kind of an age limitation on it, and then all the COVID drama, that particular group went away. But we had this nice little hub of about 12 to 15 young moms that we felt like we had really poured some discipleship into. And we felt like the Lord was really saying we were supposed to continue on with them and pouring into their lives. And so we actually had a meeting where we let them pick their title of what they wanted to call this group. And they chose Club Beyond because they felt like many of them had been in Young Life and then they had done Young Lives. And so they felt like this group was just that, beyond Young Lives. And it was kind of the next level and the next step. So they chose Club Beyond. And we meet once a month. COVID we've been doing on Zoom, and that's been a little interesting, but we're getting ready to go back in person.
Yay,
can't wait.
Celebrating party.
But yeah, so we come together once a month and we do dinner together, we do some kind of meal, and then we have childcare for their kids. Just because it's a night that also gives them a break then, because someone else is watching their kids. And then we do games and crafts with the moms, and we do some little bit of Bible study, discipleship stuff, and just connect. And then through COVID, because we haven't been able to connect in person, we kind of divvied up our list among our mentors, as we call them. And we've each had kind of a handful, about a half dozen girls for us to just stay connected with through COVID. So it was really cool. At the beginning, I went and I was delivering diapers and I was delivering wipes. And I had one who, you know, we know when kids are little, they outgrow things very quickly. So I was swapping out clothes among places where I could get clothes donated. And I'm like, I'll take your 2 tees and I'll give you 4 tees. And so, so it was just cool to know that I could help.
You're kind of like
I'm what?
You're like eBay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on wheels, but it was nice to be able to help them. Cause I remember when my kids were little and I was single, I didn't want to load the kids up in the car, especially with a global pandemic, which I didn't have to deal with when my kids were little, and be like, let's all drag everybody out to the Walmart to buy a package of wipes that good luck if you can find them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just nice to know that I was filling a need for them. And so we've connected through Zoom and Facebook, or we have a Facebook group. And so starting in May, we're gonna come back together, and it's probably gonna look a little different than it has, but we'll just keep going forward and see how that evolves.
Cool. That's awesome, Tammy. That is, and I know that Mason, who is our director, we're hopefully gonna have him on at some point in the Kingdom Store portion of our podcast, but I know that he really appreciates the fact that, and there's several of you. I mean, there's several of you guys that are Snatterly's Clove Dolls who have just loved on a group of kids who were teenagers when they got pregnant, and then they age out. I mean, you know, they're in their 23, 24 year olds. Yeah. And for you guys to stay connected with them.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. So excited. Devin, do you want to say something?
Well, no, just like, I love how, you know, listening to God and hearing, like, I don't think our time's done with this group. That I think we're hearing that we get to, we need or should, you know, invite for some further journey on this. Let's continue on. And so, like, I just love how the evolution of that from what it started to what it is now.
Well, and even something as simple as them picking their name was actually really a cool process, because it allowed them to reflect on their own story, which is how they came to what their name was. And so that was really cool too.
Oh, awesome. So here's a great question. It's one of my favorites. What didn't you expect to happen, but has?
Honestly, I didn't expect to have the relational connection that I did, because I have a gift of administration, which means that I can really easily fall into facilitator. And I feel like facilitator, you keep somewhat of an arm's length, and I have a tendency to sort of operate that way in my own life. And so this has been an onion peel for me that the Lord has done, to really allow not just about me connecting and being in other people's lives, but allowing them into my own, because that way, the reciprocation of that, I didn't always do.
Sorry, I had my cursor in the wrong spot. Well, and again, I think sometimes, I love the unexpected. I do. I love the unexpected, that there's, I mean, and everybody's story has one. Even you getting plopped here is, I mean, that's a whole nother 40 minutes of conversation of how you get here. And we can save that for another time. But I love how God works. I love when he breaks through and we didn't see it coming, because he's, you know, as you know, you've heard this said, God's at work. We're just figuring out how to join him. So, so probably the last question is Kingdom, your current Kingdom story, is there something that you're feeling like that, you know, maybe you just want to reiterate? You know, I mentioned it earlier, but is there a story that you just see that God is just really planted right in front of you?
Well, I didn't expect this to end up where it has. I mean, part of the whole writing thing, which is a whole nother thing, is having the church blog, and then just the connection with the people who are mentors in Club Beyond. There's that whole relational connection, as well as the participants. And when I left Form, or when Form ended or whatever, I still didn't really have a clue. I mean, I had some idea and I had a thought in my brain, but I had no idea what it would evolve into, and then how to navigate that in the midst of a pandemic. And so what I feel like is really the current Kingdom story, though, is can we be flexible enough now going forward that I think it's going to look different than even what it was before?
Right,
and so I feel like I'm back in that place of leaning into, okay, God, what are you saying then about how this is going to look? Because that worked for then and that was awesome. Yeah. But I think you have
what's it look plans. Like now?
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Devin, you got anything else?
No, I mean, yeah, I would agree with you, Elmer, that there and Tammy, that your story is incredible. And, you know, the parts that I have heard and just hearing what God has done in your life, where he has, you know, brought you from and to, but also what he's doing as you're walking this out. Like, I mean, I love even as you say, like they're unexpected about the relationships that have been made, but like, you know, from the very beginning, you said, God's calling me to plant here in this community. I don't really know what that's going to look like, but I'm going to trust that he's going to walk me, you know, all along this and, you know, help me know where to go and what to do. But now even, you know, looking back, like you mentioned the timeline, looking back, but even to where you are now, I think it's just, it's incredible to, and again, it's weird to say I'm in awe of what God does because I say it so often, but it is every time. And Tammy, your story is one of those, like, I'm just in awe of, you know, what God has done in your life and in your heart and what he's continuing to do. I love it. And oftentimes, Tammy, I'm like, you got to hear this story. I'm like, you got to hear what's going on. It's incredible.
Well, Tammy, it is awesome. Echo. I know some of it as I'm listening to you talk and as I'm thinking that week three lesson is looking back so we can move forward.
Yeah.
And it's a tough lesson.
Yeah.
For anyone who's ever done it, to stop and reflect where you see the excitement of your life, the great things, and then the things that really, for lack of a better word, suck. And to write those out, to make the timeline, and then to look at it and go, wow, God was here. I just, and again, I think you would echo that it was not an easy road to go back to look at. But he's shaped and molded you, girl. He has.
Well, and that's the part that really wrecked me, was to recognize that in the parts that sucked, that he was still there, because I had not ever taken the time to acknowledge that. And when I did, that's what really wrecked me.
Yeah. Wow.
That's isn't there a song called Wrecking Ball? Who sings that?
I'm not going to sing that, Elmer.
You're not. I think that's Katy Perry.
Well,
I don't sing. I don't sing at all.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy, thank you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And this will be up hopefully next Monday. And do us a favor, Tammy, and share it with all your friends. So that way, you know, we can have, you know, because we can have more than just like six people listening. However, I did get a message last night that we have someone in Ohio who's listening to us.
Well, the moral of the story is just don't answer the phone when Elmer calls. That's really the long and short.
Wow, that's a good word.
So the word from last week, Tammy, was that don't text Elmer unless you're expecting to get, you know, hounded.
There you go. Well, don't answer the phone when he calls.
Okay, I do have a good buddy of mine who calls me a pit bull. So sometimes if I just, I'm going to latch on to something and I'm not going to let it go until I figure it out. So, all right. You have been a blessing to us.
Thank you, Tammy.
I'm so thankful that God put you in our community because you're amazing. So, all right, guys, we are about two things. We're about kingdom stories
and discipleship that is reproducible.
This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your kingdom stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.